The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit. NAFTA podcast. What's going on? We're back. We got three of the four guys in the studios, aka Michael's room, my office,
flawless as ever.
Yeah, this was the whitest thing I've done. Nick, where are you coming to us from? What room is this? The Peloton room?
This is the bedroom. As it's a late afternoon, Caroline is still hard on the grind next door, and downstairs, she might be rustling around. This is the only, typing, talking, all that HR stuff. So this is the only quiet room in the house right now, and it's far enough away from her that she can't hear me.
That's always the key element. Alexis, anytime I'm doing this podcast and she's home, I think she just leaves the house for a little bit. She's like, I don't need to hear any of this stuff. With that, we got Michael, we got Nick, we got myself. If you're listening to this podcast, like, subscribe, share. Throw us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us on YouTube. I will mention YouTube again. We just did, Michael, you and I, we did our transfer special. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. But the best form of watching that is on YouTube because I'm not going to lie to you. I spent a lot of time on the graphics. It was a pain in the ass. So I'm really hoping the YouTube numbers get a little bit higher than the actual podcast numbers. That would make me feel better. But if you haven't seen that, go back, listen to it. We give you 2 transfers for each team in the Prem. We are in the midst of the transfer window here in January. We're also in the midst of the cup competitions. Therefore, we only have 5 games this weekend to give our predictions for. We're going to give you our dudes of the week. We're going to talk about, you know, how the cups are going, I think would actually be an interesting topic too. But first, guys, I saw this, I think like a week ago, and I wanted to get your take since we're the perfect people for this. The three of us have never been to a game in England, correct? Nick, you're the only one I wasn't sure about.
Correct.
But you are with the youth of America and the world every day. And Michael, you're just maybe chronically online, so I figured you two would still be able to answer this. I saw a tweet where it was like, Big Six matches are just tourist events now. The real fans aren't there anymore. I don't know if you guys saw this too, but someone was bitching about it where people are showing up, flicking up, taking their picture, taking their video, and the atmosphere is now gone from some of these games. I thought it was interesting because right before we jumped on, we got Tottenham, Man United this week, and I was like, Nick, like, are you guys gonna win? Just let me know so I can get this one correct. And it being at Old Trafford had no effect on my choice, which I think we can all kind of say, like, hey, maybe that allure is gone. Do we think this is an accurate statement? Do we think there's any validity to it? Have you seen anything like that while you're watching the game? I think, Michael, you might have the one stadium that precludes you from this, maybe, who knows? But wanted to get your guys' take.
Well, considering Michael's manager has been calling out his fans for the last couple weeks, I think Michael should take this one first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, there's one manager that's petrified to go to Anfield, and that's Mikel Arteta, so I think that's all you need to know.
Okay, so quips about Anfield done and dusted. Nick, your thoughts about Old Trafford? There we go.
The roof is leaking.
It is. I was literally about to just say that. But now we got tech money now, baby. We're in the good. We're not oil money, but we're tech money, so we'll take it. I do have a friend that went to a Chelsea game and did say it felt very, I mean, it's Chelsea, granted, but it did feel very corporate. Honestly, Dylan's going in March, so he'll be able to give us. And I think his brother-in-law is going to be going as well. Maybe he might be going to another. He might be going to a Fulham game because he's a Fulham supporter. So maybe we can get some interest there. But I would I think it's just sports in general, because I saw something, Tiger Woods said something a year or two ago, like he's like, the crowds, you don't hear clapping anymore, you know, and it definitely, like, you'll hear the yelling, but the yelling and clapping made some of the made the noise and the atmosphere so crazy. So now everyone's with their phones up.
Yeah.
The type of atmosphere, the amount of noise, is something they're not trying to make noise maybe, but the type of noise you can make definitely sounds different because there's less clapping. That's what Tiger Woods said.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, another reason I wanted to bring this up, and Nick, like I mentioned, you know, you're a teacher, so you're with like kids most days, and you're probably seeing what kids are doing now that we never did, or kind of couldn't, the technology wasn't there. But today at the gym, the Y I go to like looks down into the basketball court, and they're playing 5-on-5 down there, and the people playing were probably from like ages 22 to 30, whatever. 6 of the 10 guys that were in the run had earbuds in. And I was like shocked by that. But
You're shocked by that?
I am. It's so weird. Like why you're doing something physical with your friends and shit? Why?
Well, they're not, like, I guarantee that shit's not blasting in their ear. It's just
It doesn't matter.
It does. You guys are not iPad kids.
No.
We're over 30. We're over 30.
You need something. Like, I can't do anything unless I have something going on my phone, on the iPad, doing whatever. Like, that playing basketball is an activity for sure, and that they're doing. They need something in the background to, like, it has to calm the part of their brain that is, like, frantic.
So, everyone under the age of 28 has ADHD.
No, it's not necessarily ADHD, but yes, people are. I mean, if you want me to get sciencey on you, people are definitely becoming more anxious, more just in general, like flustered and hard to concentrate on things. And it is a sense of like, dude, I played pickup basketball at LA Fitnesses for like 4 years when I was in Atlanta. I'm not a good basketball player, but there are some people there that, with both earbuds in, they weren't even listening to me, would just absolutely hoop all over me. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's not affecting their game.
I don't care about their game. I think, like, I have some of that in me where I, like, need, you know how, like, a shark has to constantly be, like, swimming to stay alive? Like, that type of thing? Like, I get that. I get having to have something go into your ear to keep it moving. But I think playing a sport is, that's my thing. I'm doing it. I'm doing the thing to keep me alive right now.
As the resident old in the room now, you know, perfect example today is I got up, we had a delayed opening, and I got up my normal time at 5:20, made some coffee, and I graded essays for an hour and a half, and I dominated. Like, I crushed 10 essays in 90 minutes. Like, that's pretty damn good. Like, that's pretty damn good. You know, like, I was cooking. And then I go to school, I teach first period, second period, it's a late opening, so it's 57 minutes, and they're seniors, they're working, they're doing research on a project. I'm like, great, so these kids will be sitting there quiet with the headphones on, I can bang out more essays. These kids wouldn't stop chatting. I had to tell them to, you know, focus, but two, they're having these little small conversations, their earbuds are in. Dude, I got through 2 essays in an hour. I wanted to kill them all. I was losing my mind. I'm like, silence. To quote Ari Gold, silence is golden, Lloyd. Like, I was just sitting there. I'm like, all you need to shut your mouths.
Yeah. No, that's like left behind. I love hearing it, though. Yeah, it was interesting to me. And, like, the parallel I'm trying to pull is that the technology world is, as always, just bleeding right into normal life. So I just have to assume if younger people are going to these games, they're probably not paying the full attention. What's up?
Yeah, dude, that, I mean, to end that, and then I have another comment, that is literally, like, to be serious, to get the younger generation of people, you need things to keep attention, because attention is so difficult to come by. Even if the product is good, like, it has to be accessible, it has to be, like, you know, I can sit there and watch, like, an hour-long video, but there are some people that were like, I'll never watch, like, a 15-minute video, like, it'll never happen.
And there's video games in videos.
But I'm just saying, like, The degree of it getting crazier is as, like, the younger you are. So, like, you can't play a sport and listen to music like those kids do. And I could probably do that. I think it would affect my ability for sure. But I can't. I could watch an hour-long video. They can't. So are we done with this before I say the one thing I wanted to say?
I'm not saying I couldn't do it. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't want to.
You couldn't do it.
I wouldn't be as good, but I can literally play basketball with earbuds in. It's not hard.
I could because I'm just the best athlete on the podcast, but it's cool.
There you go. All right, Michael. What was your last statement?
Dylan has done this week after week, especially during the holidays, so I'm going to do it as well. Get on the good side of my parents. Shout out to Mark Whitaker. Happy birthday.
Yeah, good call. Oh, did you text well him already?
Yeah, I texted him this morning at 7 in the morning.
What, you don't call? You don't call?
And you call?
I was at work. I was at work.
You can't step into the bathroom and be like, hey, Dad, take a minute. Thanks for everything you've done for me. I can take 30 seconds out of my life.
Literally, no. I can't.
Literally. It's also, Nick, like, this is just wasted brown nosing, because if there's one person in our family that doesn't listen to podcasts, it's our dad. So,
just wasted. Yeah, but Mom will tell him.
You think?
Yes.
All right. We'll come back.
Hey, not to get on the bad side of one of them, I called Mom today and she goes, oh, shoot, I forgot to tell him happy birthday. So, maybe she won't, you know? All right. Enough of the Whitaker family drama. Let's get into the dudes of the week. We had, like I mentioned, yeah, the cup ties this past weekend. Carabao and FA Cup going strong. You got a shortened week. This week, only 5 games. There are still people to shout out. Nick, you're the only Tucker standing here, and I wish you would have got more essays guarded. You go first, Michael. I'll give you a second. I'll bring up the rear, mostly because I still want to figure out which ones I want to go after. So, Nick, lead us off, your first dude of the week.
I'm going to shout out Antoine Griezmann with his right-footed strike today past the awkward-looking Kepa in a Real Madrid jersey. As John, I won't repeat the joke, but as John so eloquently put in the group chat, he has become the all-time leading goal scorer for Atletico Madrid. So, 174 goals. Claps up for him.
Dude, that does not register. Like, that feels wrong. Doesn't it?
So it's a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I feel like I would have always just thought it was Suarez.
He wasn't there long enough.
Atleti?
Yeah.
Atleti, no. He was only there at the end.
That's true. That's true.
174 goals in 368 games, I think. Yeah, that's right.
Damn, that's kind of wild. I would have not guessed that at all. At all. All right, Michael.
I got the Ohio State hoodie on. Shout out Denzel Burke coming back for his senior year for the Buckeyes, try to win a championship. Hopefully, he said at the end of his statement, I just saw it when I was getting ready today for this, he's coming back to win a championship with his brothers. Hopefully, he has some sway on someone named Marvin Harrison he comes back to.
Yeah, I think that's going to be real tough there. Cotton.
Lot of NIL money. A lot of NIL money.
Yeah. Come on, Wexners.
You donate?
Michael, did you donate any?
No. Are you kidding me?
you just wait till that D3 Worcester NIL money gets going, right, Michael? Tell him.
When I get paid back retroactively, oh, it's gonna be so sick.
All right, my dudes of the week. My first one. I'm gonna shout someone out that we may never speak of again, just based on his track record. But sometimes it's nice to get a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Shout out to Timo Werner. He's back in the Prem. He's at Tottenham. If anyone can get a player to eradicate their demons of the past in the Premier League, I feel like it might be Big Ange, the big kangaroo. So Timo Werner, shout out to him. He's back in Tottenham. The second dude of the week, and it's multiple dudes. Our family, if you look at where they originated in the island of England, are Blackpool fans. So, the FA Cup, shout out to Blackpool, tying Nottingham Forest. Didn't take them out fully, but a tie, a draw is a draw is a draw, which is a great result for Blackpool. Shout out to our family. We used to own a dairy farm out there, apparently. Could have made it rich, but we squandered it all away, just like Jimmy Buffett. Michael.
Yeah. Rip to us. I got my number two, Maxime Lopez of Fiorentina, scoring the final penalty in the Coppa Italia against Bologna. Always nice when I can shout out the Viola, La Viola. I think it's La, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know Italian.
I'm right there with you. Nick, it looks like I may have taken one of your dudes of the week. You got back-to-back picks. Do we need to start filibustering for you?
No. I got one. No, I thought Blackpool, I thought that one was safe. I was going to save that one for last. I'm like, no one's going to touch that one. I got that for sure. No
one's going to. Little did you know.
Well, since we got a little tickle, our bellies and a chuckle there, we're going to stick with that theme and go with Sam Tickle, the goalkeeper for Wigan Athletic, who was outstanding against United on Monday afternoon. 12 saves, just an absolute brick wall. The dude, and dominates a big word today for me. He absolutely controlled the box. He was a force to be reckoned with. Really impressive showing.
Love it.
And my panic will be, I'm going to give it out to Olivier Giroud for scoring a pen. He's just hot. Let's just put it out there. You can't go wrong with picking Olivier Giroud. Hot old men playing Italian soccer.
He is hot.
Give him a shout out for that.
Good looking guy. Michael, who you got?
Final pick, Sam Korn of Maidstone United, winning the FA Cup against Stevenage. He had a penalty in the 45th minute. Takes them to, I think it's what, round four or whatever. Non-league team. Shout out to them. That's awesome. Every time it happens, Eastleigh, I don't know how to say it. They have a chance in a replay. I think they'll get the home leg this time, so hopefully they go through as well. But shout out to Maidstone and shout out to Sam Korn.
Love it. The magic of the FA Cup, as most English people will tell you. All right, I'm going to do something unorthodox, somewhat new. I want to shout out two people, and I only got one pick. I'm going to do it anyway because I make the rules here. One is someone who got a transfer. One is someone that I'm putting it out there that I want them to get a transfer. We talked about the latter person on our last podcast, the transfer special. But first, let's shout out the guy that did get the transfer, Fabio Carvalho. Didn't really work out at Leipzig. He's going to Hull. I think he's very talented, and I kind of want to see him do well. Maybe not in the Liverpool jersey, but do well enough that he seems like a pretty good kid and, like, talented. Like, I just feel like it was wrong place, wrong time, both with Liverpool and with Leipzig. So he's off the Hull to join them for the second part of the season. And then Nick, I'm reaching across the aisle for you on this one, which may be a slap in the end. I want David De Gea to play soccer.
Oh, yes, I'm here for that.
Yeah, I there are too many bad goalkeepers in the Premier League. Maybe not bad, but just not good for him not to have a job. And if it's that way in the Premier League, which we all, at least Michael and I for sure, think is the best league in Europe, there's got to be some Spanish teams, too, that need a goalkeeper. Like, go play.
I still got it.
I think he does. I mean, better than some people. I'm that way with him. I know that dickhead called out Jesse Lingard. They'll call out Jesse Lingard, but I want him to play, too. If you're a free agent right now, I want you to get a job. I'm pro-jobs. Pro-jobs on the pod.
Salford City is hemorrhaging goals, and they're starting to slide down. I mean, they're United guys. Why don't they throw him out there? They're ex-teammates.
Absolutely. Ben Foster could do it.
Just a question. Or not even a question. Like, my man just wants to post a gym pic. Like, why are we mad at him?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Scully's a troll. If you ever followed him on social media, he's not even trolling, though.
That's just being mean. That's just an angry person.
That's bullying.
Yeah. It's like, you're just like, you're scrolling through and you're just like, I don't like this gym pic. Like, fuck you. It just does. I don't know. Just I was like, this is stupid.
Maybe it's the fact that he, instead of being rational, he offered himself to Barcelona. Like, hey, like, oh. I mean, give him credit for shooting your shot, but like, come on, you're really gonna go out there? You haven't played all season, and you're gonna go put it to one of the top clubs in Europe?
I'm not gonna lie. Have you seen Barcelona play lately? He might be able to get in that team,
bro. Right now. Who do they have playing midfield? The Southampton guy. Oriel Romeu is playing midfield for them. Like, it's not actually that outlandish that he could play there.
He should go play. He should call Jose up. He had some great years under Jose. Go over to Italy, play at Roma.
Oh, that's a good call too. Look, I hate the thought of like Jesse at the Christmas table with his family and being like, "Look, new year, new me. I'm getting after it in the gym." And the first day he's in there, someone snaps a picture of him, and this guy is just shitting all over him. This kind of sucks. Shout out to my guy.
I agree.
Free J-Lings. I love that, man.
Wouldn't happen at Planet Fitness. That's a strictly positive place.
Yeah, absolutely. No picks there. No picks there. All right. Let's get into our predictions. Let's get you all an update as to how we are doing. Michael, I think it's insurmountable at this point, buddy. You are sitting at 114 and 184, 30 games over 500. Nick, 107 and 91. That is 16 games over 500. I am 104 and 94, 10 games over 500. Good thing Dylan's not on the pod. This man is 95 and 103. The one person we allow bet every week that he wants to has the worst prediction record. That's why he's tuned in, folks. That's why you tune in. All right, five games, like I mentioned. We got a relegation six-pointer. We got a traditional Big Six power match. And then we got oil money versus more oil money. Burnley, Luton, Chelsea, Fulham, Newcastle, Man City, Everton, Villa, Man United, Tottenham. Let's start it from the top. Let's talk Burnley, Luton. Michael, what are your predictions and how do you see this game playing out? We only got five. We can spend a little bit more time on each.
So, Burnley are just the kings of the championship.
Yeah.
Which is, I think Luton are obviously having a better season, as apparent by the table. I think when they're at home at Kenilworth Road, they play a lot better. They play more physical with a lot more energy. For whatever reason, I'm pretty sure Burnley slapped up Sheffield United, and Sheffield United are worse than Luton for sure.
Yeah.
But at home, they know Luton very, very well. It's a team that they feel like they can play how they want to play against. So I got Burnley just because they seem to own the championship teams for the most part.
Yeah, I will say this too. Over the past 2 years, they've met three times. Burnley won the first fixture in October at Kenilworth Road already. They also won at Kenilworth Road in February in the championship. They drew at home. So I don't know if that indicates that maybe this is a bad pick, but they're better on the road against Luton in a very, 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 very small sample size. I got Burnley as well, though, and I think it's more you backed the company into a corner, and now he's just lashing out for his job, in my opinion. So we'll see how that goes. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Vincent Kompany is your Stevie G.
Yes. Oh, my God. Not even close.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to go with Burnley. I mean, I'm sticking with the well-established home-away issue we have here. But as was mentioned before, Luton is incredibly difficult at home. Away is a totally different game. I think coming off a little bit of a break, this is a really easy sell for Burnley. And it's a company to say, look, we're 4 points back. They've got a game in hand. You can kind of play us versus the world thing. You know, hey, if you want to get some momentum going above the next guy, we got to get going. Because not only that, that brings you within, you know, 2 points of Everton. You know, it's a game that you have to win to stave off relegation. So I'm going to go with the win one for the Gipper speech coming out this weekend. I'm taking Burnley, and I just don't think Luton's good enough away. And I think Burnley's feeling a little bit on the good side.
Quick in or out. If company loses,
out,
deuces.
Yeah, I think so.
I was just gonna say. Real quick, do you think it's harder or a bigger accomplishment to win the Scottish League or the Championship?
Championship.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it depends on what team you're managing.
Yeah, good point. If you're Rangers or Celtic, I think it's...
Yeah,
you still have to beat the other one.
If you're Dundee United and you're winning the Scottish League, like, fuck, hats off to you, brother. Or sister.
Yeah. I think Celtic and Rangers would be the best team in the championship. But I think only having to beat one other good team, or not even, if that team just loses some games and you beat all the bad teams, I think it's better. I think the comparison between Girard and company accomplishment-wise is, like, super, super interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, Girard also had Europa League success in a short spell. So I just think it was an interesting thought.
I think this year Leicester would give him a run.
Yeah, I think Leicester's pretty good, but I think most years, I mean, think like Rangers last year almost won the Europa League.
True. Good point. Good point. All right, so. Burnley Luton. We all got Burnley. A London derby, which, if I'm not mistaken, Chelsea not doing too hot in London derbies lately. They're hosting Fulham. The Cottagers are coming in. Nicholas Jackson's still suspended. I feel like that happens every five games. Iwobi suspended on the Fulham side. Calvin Bassey as well. Nick, who you got in this one?
I just switched it. I'm going with the Cottagers. You know, I think it was a decent showing today against Liverpool. Chelsea's hurting. Chelsea's struggling. And I haven't taken the risk. Honestly, I just haven't taken the risk enough for the picks. This is just, I gotta kind of take a little risk and just jump the ship if it's not Chelsea. I gotta follow. It's Chelsea that should win. I gotta start jumping that ship a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. I think this is a pick 'em pick. 50-50. Because you really don't know what team you're getting on either side of the ball. Are we gonna get Fulham, who's gonna go put up three or four goals or can't score? Are going to get Chelsea, who shows up to play, or Chelsea, who looks like a, you know, bottom of the table type team? You know, just it's the inconsistency ball, you know, is what you're going to get. So the game could be 0-0. It could be 4-3. It could be awesome. It could be boring as hell. So I think it's just a straight up coin toss, and I don't know. I'm just going to take a rip.
That's why we have a platform, folks. We really just cut through the muck and give you exactly what's going to happen. I'm right there with you, though. I do think it's a toss-up. I got Chelsea in this one just because it's at home, but they have so many injuries and they're not playing well. To your point, Fulham could win 4-1, and I'm not shocked. I think I'd more just laugh. Michael, who you got?
The reverse fixture, I picked Fulham to win at home. They lost 2-0. Heartbreaker. Actually, they got smacked. I will say, though, this is... Every single time, like, home field for Chelsea does not really matter.
Yeah.
If they play like they did against Middlesbrough yesterday and Fulham play like they did against us today, Fulham will win this game for sure. Because there's just no cutting edge for Chelsea at all. Fulham, I think we've just seen the names so often. De Cordova Reed, Willian, Pereira, Raul Jimenez. But I think we forget how good like they actually are and like experienced they are, and you know they can have moments and runs where they reach those like top levels that you know they have in their career. So if those guys all play well, Fulham could easily win this game. I'm gonna go with Chelsea just because I think they're gonna want to prove something. I hope. I don't know why I'm picking them, to be honest with you. They're going to want to prove something after that Middlesbrough game and get themselves ready for the home leg in that one. So they're going to need to put in a good performance.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right. One last question on this one, too. Are we sure that Poch is a good coach?
No.
I think this season, more than anything, I forget which pod. I think I was listening to maybe a BBC pod or something. The fact that he... is pushing for more investment and needing better people in this team is kind of laughable in my eyes.
I agree. 100%. I mean, listen, if you think... Everyone remembers the Spurs run where they almost won the Champions League. Okay? And think about how they got there. An insane performance against... you guys and Ajax, right?
For sure.
I think back-to-back.
Yep.
The Ajax one was in the semis. But, you know, I don't want to take anything away from him, but it was, you know, a lot of things fell their way in that run. He went to PSG, where he absolutely did what he should have done and won the French league. God, I couldn't talk. But he didn't do anything else. That's why they got rid of him, and that's why he was on. He was able to take this job. So I don't think he. I think he's proven himself right now. Trying to.
Yeah, PSG is essentially just failed Premier League coach rehab at this point.
Yes.
Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys are more deep in Chelsea hate Twitter or Instagram or Reels or, you know, whatever those kids are doing. You're probably listening to it while you're playing basketball, Michael, for all I know. But, but you know, I'm going to make this about me a little bit here. You know, everyone says Ten Hag can't handle the big stars, right? You know, you look at the Ronaldo, all the things that have happened. Is there a conversation about that with Poch? Because you look at Spurs, he had those guys since they were 20 years old. You know, it wasn't, and Southampton obviously is a different story. Goes to PSG, he's got Messi staring through him like he's going to shoot, you know, he's going to shoot laser beams through him, you know, as he's coming off, or daggers, whatever you want to say. And he comes here, I wouldn't call them big, you know, great players yet, but you're handing guys, you know, 8 years, 100, you know, $30 million, $40 million. It's a big ego. Is he in the same shit? Are they the same?
I think they're closer than we think, and I'm surprised no like media is picking up on it and talking
about it. I don't see anything. I feel like
it would get clicks for sure.
There's nothing on it. You know, they might, you know, it's the Spider-Man, you know, pointing at each other.
Yeah, I don't deny that. All right, two other Spider-Mans pointing at each other. Piff money versus oil money. All of it's oil money at this point. Newcastle, they're hosting City. Sandro Tonali's still out because, Michael, what did you say? He got caught by the Sharks. I forget what you said yesterday. This made me laugh. Nick Pope's still out. Haaland probably still out. John Stone's still out in this one as well. But City welcomed back De Bruyne in the FA Cup match. They're getting some people back. In my opinion, this is a somewhat pivotal game, even though we are a game in hand and only 5 points behind the leaders. But if we can go to Newcastle and get a win, this is a get-right game. This is a game that you write up on the chalkboard and you say, remember this performance? Let's get that dub. And I think that's how you have to pitch it to your own team if you're worried about their motivation, which sometimes with the City team I am. Pitch to your own team because in reality, this is a beat up, tired, just weaker Newcastle team because they play so much, in my opinion. Still wildly dangerous, really good players, but because they're so thin, I think that it's they need some depth and they need it badly. I got City in this one. Michael, who you got?
I also have City. I completely agree with what you're saying. I think this is absolutely a game. I think they got Trippier back. The defense should be fine. Dubravka's still there unless they make a move. It'll be Joe Linton, Miley, and I don't know, Longstaff or whatever. Listen, doesn't matter if they had like a week off. They're still not at the same level, and they're still played a ton of games up until this point. You guys are far better. I know this is at Newcastle. That is the game changer, because if they come out and just run their ass off for 90 minutes, they could do anything because they have some talent. But I have to side with City here because you guys have everything to play for right now.
Yeah, for sure. Also, a return by Doku, I think, is on the books as well. And Nick, before I let you speak, that cup game that Newcastle had was against the bitter rival of Sunderland. They played a fresh, like, the 11. They played their 11 against him. So it wasn't like they got the day off or anything.
Yeah, I think KDB coming back is fucking terrifying, because you talk about, they got, City is, John, you're worried about turning the switch on and switch off. This is exactly where they want to be. This is exactly where they have been. You know, this is like a marathon runner watching the guy in front of him. You know, he's 10 seconds above you in pace. Like, I'm not worried about it. No, you're just going to keep... I'm just going to stay 10 seconds behind him. Don't worry about it. I think that City takes this one running away. I think tired legs. I think Newcastle needs the break coming up. Kind of the break in games will be helpful, but I think City... I think City will take this, mostly because I saw a tweet that said that the winner of this game gets the better OPEC deal out of this. So, you know.
Yeah. No no solar panels and no windmills in this game, folks, please. All right. We all got City in that one. Everton, they're hosting Villa. This is a Villa team that is still playing pretty well, but not as red hot as they were before. And an Everton team that is definitely not as red hot as they were before. A draw against Palace, lost to Wolves, lost to City, lost to Spurs, lost to Fulham in their last five. Michael, what you see going on in this one?
Everton have been on a bit of a slide since that five in a row, no goals, clean sheet run that they had that everyone was losing their mind about, and for good reason. They're playing really well, but I think this is a ton of time for Villa to prepare for this game. I think Emery is, if not already, basically one manager of the season. He's in the running in first place for it. He's a very good tactical manager. I think he can figure out how to get this team ticking, and I'm sure this has been a point of emphasis for them is on the road games. Goodison is really tough to play at for a lot of teams. I'm going to back Villa for this one. And, you know, I know they're not great away, but I think they can handle Everton.
Yeah, I got Villa too. I just think the Jims and Joes are better than their Jims and Joes in this regard. And I think Unai wants to start on the right track coming out of this cup weekend, cup ties, cup games. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it all. I think this can be a match for the first 10 or 15 minutes, but I think that it's been shown with Everton this year that you can, if you can do something early, you can take the wind out of the sails. I don't think they have much fight in them, to be honest with you, if you don't get off to a good start or something negative happens in their way. Villa's just freaking good, and Everton is better than they were last year, but it's not even the same.
Crazy scenario we did not bring up in the Luton-Burnley game. If Everton lose this one, and if Luton beat Burnley, Luton out of the relegation zone. Kind of nutty. I mean, a lot of things obviously have to go right for that to happen, but that is the team that, in my mind, thought was going to be the worst in the league, and now they're this far in, not in the relegation zone. That'd be kind of shocking. Nick, Man United, Old Trafford, here we come. You are hosting Tottenham. Amrabat is out. Onana is suspended as well.
What?
No, he's at African Cup of Nations.
No, he's playing.
Oh, he is playing.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. You're right. You're right. I forgot he said he would play two games in.
You scared me because I just read today that he's literally going to play the game.
Yeah.
And he's going to jump on a plane like right after. Yeah, he's missing the Cameroon's first game.
Yeah, I heard that too.
He's going to set a record for most goals given up in 24 hours.
That's mean.
That sucks for Cameron.
Yeah. Good point. I wish, just, you know, I know everyone at Fat Mob listens to our podcast. I wish when they had the list of players that are injured or suspended, that if you're at the African Cup of Nations, you just put, like, AFCON there, not suspended.
Wait, can I just say, when I was looking at doing the transfer thing, and I was looking at Nottingham Forest, I kept going through their players, because they have a ton of people at AFCON, and it just had 5-match suspension. And I kept going through and seeing 5, and I was like, what the fuck did Nottingham Forest do? I was like, what did they do? Holy shit. These guys all suspended.
All right, so Amrabat, then, I have to assume...
He's there.
He's there? Okay.
Yes. Right.
Whatever. Look, United-Tottenham, it's a traditional Big Six matchup. Nick, how do you see this one playing out?
Not fun. I am genuinely nervous that it won't be the roof that's the only thing that's leaking with this game.
Good joke.
No Son.
Doesn't change my thoughts though.
hey, no, wait, hold on. Let me get you. No Pape Sarr, no Bissouma, no Son.
Yeah. Madison's still out.
Stop.
My heart's starting to flutter. You can't do this to me.
Mickey Van De Ven's still
stop.
Out.
Will you stop. My heart's racing. I'm getting excited. I don't like this.
Stop.
I'm going to unzip my jacket. I'm getting warm over here. It's the same thing as you're talking about Chelsea and Fulham. It's an inconsistent United. It's one step forward, two steps back. From their perspective, I don't know what we're going to get. We're supposed to be getting a couple guys back this month, so you don't really know. Honestly, this week I haven't looked at. I know Casemiro's coming back soon, Maguire's coming back soon. I just don't know if it's going to be this week. The only thing I want to see, and it's not going to happen, is I would love to see a Hannibal Manu pairing in the middle, because Manu can run the single pivot by himself, which is insane to say about an 18-year-old. But putting someone and putting him there, put a little youth and some exuberance and some energy and some skill that McTominay doesn't have. I'm wearing thin on him. He's the Scottish Fellaini is really what he is, and it's rough. So hopefully Ahmad plays, this game could be United shows up and has great. Again, dynamite analysis here, or this could be 5-5-1. Because Ange is awesome and he always gets the job done. So not really sure what's going to happen, to be honest with you. I can't figure this team out. As I said the other day, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to suffer through it.
You got United.
I did pick United because I don't freaking know. Cause I'm a fucking idiot and a sucker.
It's all right. This podcast is full of idiots and suckers. Michael, speaking of one, who you got?
Like I said, Son gone, Bissouma gone, Sarr gone. I still got Spurs.
Yeah, it's the rise of Timo for me. Made him a dude of the week.
Timo, I don't think he'll play. He might come off the bench, but I think you're looking at like Richarlison, Lo Celso, Kulusevski, Brandon Aaronson, and then after that, I don't know.
Yeah. Brandon Aaronson, Brandon Johnson.
Brennan Johnson. Did I say Aaronson?
Yeah, you're trying to Americanize this whole thing.
Shit.
This is a toss-up match as well. They're not the most... I mean, this should be a good game, exciting game. 11:30 kickoff, January 14th. Let's get after it. But not the highlight game. I'm actually pumped to watch the Burnley-Luton game just to see where that one shakes out. Nick, you weren't on our transfer special pod. So I wanted to ask, you got a transfer you're looking to see happen this window, whether it be for United or not. And if you have one for each, I'm down to hear that too.
The Elise one, the stuff, I'm getting all the cropped photos of him in United kit on my For You page on Instagram. So, that's always fun. I try to stay away from the rumor mill just because it's European football.
Get your hopes up.
Yeah, like everything, but anything. It's like, oh, this guy's here. Oh, they were talking. No, they weren't. Like, it's worse than reading, people, all the magazines when you're checking out the grocery store.
It takes Nick back to dating in, high school and middle school. He's like, I can't deal with this shit. Let's cut right to it.
Do you That's like nice. You thought you thought girls liked me in middle school. That's nice of you. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. It was tough when you were I was 4'8" and 84 pounds in middle school, so.
Damn, shot up like a weed.
So on track, I would love to see a box to box six or eight midfielder that we can put next to Manu, because Casemiro is only going to be here at best 6 more months. They're going to sell him. So someone that fits into that. We could use a center back, but we need a striker. I mean, the most immediate thing that we can't figure out is we just need someone that can put the ball in the back of the net. So the kid, I'm not even going to attempt to say it, the guy from Stuttgart or Vlahovic from Juve, I've seen those kind of get thrown out around a little bit, but unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I'd love to see someone to pair with Manu in the middle. I think it would help mask the center back issues temporarily.
I think Michael and I said we're like center defensive mid is the most in-demand position for every team, and it's the hardest one to actually get the right guy in right now.
Yeah.
I think that's what I suggested to you, Nick.
Did you? I didn't listen. I'm not going to lie to you. So.
Anton.
I didn't listen to that episode.
Sorry. Anton Stosch.
Anton Stosch from Hoffenheim.
Look him up.
Take him.
Look him up. All right. That is the five matches we got coming up. Michael, you got one last point before we get out of here.
Yeah, I just want to, right before we leave, I just want to do a PTI type happy trails to our friend Nick Saban, who is retired.
Yeah. Oh, yep. No way. Michael, you killed him.
See ya.
Michael killed him. Hey.
See ya, motherfucker.
Dude, he's Him and Bill Belichick are going to go to San Diego, and they're going to co-head coach, and they're going to go win a Super Bowl.
It's
going to
be the most boring ass team ever.
Michael,
it's also L.A. now, not San Diego, right?
Whatever Michael, the hell it is.
Michael killed that man. We've posted many a clickbaity post, but the one that I cut up that just says "I hate Nick Saban" on it. this will tell you how old. Nick Saban is. It didn't register that high on Instagram, but Instagram will automatically post your stuff to Facebook. So I have notifications that says, you got 2,000 views on Instagram. You got 15,000 views on Facebook, which makes sense.
What?
Yeah, dude. Saban.
We're on the book, the good book?
I didn't put us on the good book, but I think the Zuck just went and did it himself. So
stealing our data, dude.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Anyway, happy trails to Nick Saban. I like hearing that. Nick, we're looking at sub 50 minutes, which is insane. Did Dylan leave you with a joke? Do you got a joke? You getting us out of here?
No, but thankfully I had two working thumbs and a brain. So
perfect. Let's end it right there.
What do you call someone who stands inside the goalposts and stops the ball rolling away?
The innkeeper.
Annette. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.